Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37.
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
So I might just start with prayer. Heavenly Father, please help us to know you more as we consider your word this morning. Give us the faith and the courage to live for you in our daily lives. And help me to deliver your word faithfully, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I've mentioned that I was in central Queensland. That was end of year seven. And so my family moved to Townsville so that I could go to high school. And so when I was in Townsville, I'd ride my bike to school. So one morning, I'm in grade eight, and I ride past, and as I always was used to coming from the country, and Townsville wasn't quite that way, but it took me a while to realise it, I'd say hello to everyone I went past. And so as I zoom past this old lady, and I say g'day, and there was something in her response just caught my attention, and I thought, oh, that didn't sound quite right. So I circled back. And as I got back to her, she was in a bit of a bad way. And so as she's, struggling to talk, she explained to me that she was trying to get to the hospital and that her phone wasn't working. And so for the younger people in my team, this is before mobile phones. So there's no backup. And so I thought, okay, well, what do we do now? So I guided this frail lady to the nearest house. And it wasn't the best part of town. But I went to the nearest door and knocked on the door. And as soon as the door opened, I went, oh, this was a mistake. The person didn't greet us particularly well. And I tried to explain the situation, and they really weren't interested. And they mumbled something and said they couldn't help. But then saw this lady had a purse and just grabbed the purse and started going through it. And I'm like, oh, this is not going well. So I jumped the fence and I run over to the house next door, and there was a real kind lady next door, and I explained what's going on, and she confirmed my suspicions about the first house. So I jumped back over the fence and I got the purse back and guided this lady around to the nicer lady next door. At this point, I thought she'll get invited in, have a cold drink, some refreshments while the adults sort this out. And it didn't quite unfold like that. She brought a chair out and put it out in the front yard so this lady could sit down and started to work out where she needed to get to and how they could make that happen. And so as a young fella, I'm way out of my league at this point. This is beyond what I can handle. So once I realized there was no more I could do, I jumped back on my bike and tore off to school, because by this stage, I'm about half hour late. I get to school. It's one of those days. Sometimes it just doesn't go well. I got to school and my class is not where they're supposed to be. And I have no idea where they are because I wasn't there to hear the instructions. And so it wasn't long after that that I cracked. I just didn't know what was going on. And so through my sobbing, I'm talking to some teacher who I didn't even really know. They've just found this kid wandering around, obviously looking lost. And I explained what happened that morning. I explained that my disbelief that people wouldn't help an old lady who needed help and was trying to get to the hospital. I mean, I could understand that kids are heartless, like kids can just be thoughtless. But I thought adults, I thought they knew how to do it right. And so I was struggling that this person in need wasn't getting help. All these cars, it was just on my mind, all these cars are just whizzing past. And as this lady walks along the gravel next to the road, and no one was stopping. I mean, even the stay-at-home folk were hesitant to help. And I couldn't process this in my mind. Such was my distress that my mum got called to come and pick me up because they went, this kid is not regrouping. And so mum come and it was just a very rare event to get picked up and taken home from school. And that was the only good thing that happened that day. But it was a good thing. So as I've been reflecting on the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we've just heard the Bible passage read, I'm conscious that I have as much to learn from this passage, if not more, than anyone else here. What challenges me as I consider this passage is, am I now one of those people that were just passing by? Am I one of these people who just sailed by and I'm now part of the problem that I could see back then through the innocent eyes of the child that I was? Innocent on that day. I'm wondering, am I so focused on being polite and getting to that next meeting on time, which I usually do, honest? Am I so focused on those things that it makes me not take the time to look at the people around me and go, how might I need to help them? Leading into this parable that we're looking at, Jesus had resolutely set out for Jerusalem, where he knew he was going to die for our salvation. That was in chapter 9:51, which is just before this. So with that context that Jesus knows what he's doing, he's earnestly trying to change the way we think. He wants us to lift our vision and understand this radical way of living that is so different to the world around us, a way that we should live in his name. We're looking at the second half of Luke, but in the first half of Luke, Jesus has just sent out 72 people and he sent them to every town around him that he's going to be going to. Therefore, as we read the second half of Luke, today's passage, we should be reading it with the insight that Jesus is speaking these things and the author has put this together in this order, understanding that Jesus was teaching the way to live in his name. In Luke 25, we hear about this expert of the law who wants to test Jesus regarding what is necessary for eternal life. But Jesus flips it around and he asks the lawyer what he thinks. And the man responds pretty well. He cites Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. This guy really knew what he was saying. So let's read his response there in Luke 27. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus said. Wow, man, Jesus just said he's nailed it. That sounds fantastic. But Jesus also knew that he had missed the heart of the issue. So he clarified, "Do these things and you will live." This guy knew his scripture really well. if he was around today, we might call him a really knowledgeable, dedicated churchgoer. He knew his stuff. But my first of 3 points is a warning. Knowing the scriptures is not the same as obeying the scriptures. We learn from Jesus that knowing how to be saved and saying the right things does not mean someone is saved. And so at this point, I'm caused to pay a bit of attention here because this is an expert in the law. He was a remarkably wise person who could quote the right verses at the right time. Yet even the wise can miss the point. So we arrive at a critical question. What does faithful living look like? Exactly who should we love as our neighbours and how? So to answer that, Jesus tells a story. And this story is set on the road heading from Jerusalem to Jericho, where a man, presumably a Jewish man because he's coming from Jerusalem, is robbed, stripped of his clothing, beaten up and left half dead. And I'll just read from verse 31. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. To explain these two characters, a priest serves the Lord in the temple, and the Levites aid the priests by carrying out duties in the temple. These two guys in this story had religious occupations, and they're heading away from the temple in Jerusalem. So to translate that to our context, we can assume these two guys are heading home from church. That's the context. Now, I don't know about you, but given we're about to be in that context, I feel like it just went up a notch. Like this is getting a bit closer to home when we realize this can apply to us. What might God have planned for us? The priest failed to help. The Levite failed to help. Both of these characters knew the word of God, just as the lawyer talking to Jesus did. For context here, any Jews would be expected to consider other Jews in their vicinity their neighbours. That would have been the context. Yet both failed to show love to the injured man on the road. Knowing the truth is not the same as believing and living in accordance with the truth. But why? Let's just think this through. Why might the priest and the Levite have passed the injured man by? Maybe it was because he was a stranger. Maybe this guy was obnoxious and did something to bring it upon himself. Perhaps they didn't think they could help. Perhaps they might have thought him close to death and wanted to keep themselves ceremonially clean because that's what priests needed to do. Maybe they thought he deserved it. Perhaps they were afraid they might get robbed themselves. Maybe they were in a rush to attend an important task that he had that day. Maybe they just didn't have time to help at all because, well, opportunities never come at an opportune time. Perhaps they recognized this guy and they simply didn't like him. It's easy to think of reasons to not help. Like that list could just go for a day. I am great at excuses. It's real easy to think of reasons to not help. But whatever their reasons are, they saw the situation and decided it was best to pass by without getting involved. The point is that these two people were supposed to follow God. They knew the command to show love, but they didn't. By the lawyer's own conclusion, they were not living in a manner worthy of eternal life. Knowing the scriptures is not the same as obeying the scriptures. Similarly today, Christians can know the scriptures but fail to show love to those around them. I don't bring this word because I'm aware of any problem or as judgment or anything of that nature. But you'll know yourself. And when people see your actions, do they experience the love of Christ, or are you keeping your distance, effectively passing by on the other side of the road? Or worse, when they see you acting or speaking, let's call it less than lovingly towards or about others, is that their impression? In verse 33, we see a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. This Samaritan guy looked upon the injured Jewish man with love. My second point is that love is compassionate. In verse 34, we read, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He treated this guy's wounds. He walked while the injured man rode his donkey. He used what he had to help the man, perhaps needing to use his own linen for bandage. He went without so that he could bless a stranger. Now, as I mentioned, I'm a project manager, so I'm going, well, where's the wisdom of self-preservation in that? What was left for his risk management? What if something happened to him? He might need these resources for himself down the road. Perhaps he was going to get to his destination that night, but instead he's accepted the inconvenience of stopping and nursing a stranger with different religious and cultural views who would actually consider him an enemy. He's stopped to spend time to help that person. In verse 35, we read about how he paid about 2 days' wages, 2 denarii, to keep the innkeeper in pocket for ongoing care. And he pledged to cover any further costs without question needed upon his return. Again, project manager kicks in. What limits did he put on the care and expenses that he was prepared to pay for this injured man? What assurance was there that he wouldn't get taken advantage of? Why did he help? He saw, took pity, had compassion, and showed love. True love leads to action. Love is compassionate. This parable teaches us that we must love and serve others unconditionally and without bias. And when I think about this in my life, I realize that's important for me unless I be an ungrateful recipient of what Christ has done for me, which has been lots. Just earlier in Luke's narrative, a Samaritan village rejected Jesus because he was a Jew on his way to Jerusalem. That was in 951 to 56. His disciples were so offended that they wanted to call down fire from heaven to smite the whole village. But Jesus rebuked them for the idea. Still, it would have been radical and outrageous to everyone, including the disciples, to imply that this Jewish lawyer should show love to a Samaritan, as they were the despised enemies of the Jews. But Jesus suggests something even more mind-boggling. In Jesus' parable, the priest and the Levite failed to uphold the law of Moses. But a Samaritan is living in a way that is obeying the heart of the scriptures. A foreigner to the people of God is the one living in a way worthy of eternal life, at least in this instance. So trapped by his own test, the lawyer can't even bring himself to use the word Samaritan. In his response to Jesus, as he admits, the one who had mercy is living in accordance with God's commandments. Having clarified how to love our neighbours in verse 37, Jesus said, go and do likewise. And this brings me to my third and final point. Go and love your neighbours. That's everyone we come across. I mean, go, do. They're such simple little action words that a child understands them. It's as if Jesus was trying to make it easy for us to understand what is so central to his message, but so difficult and so such a different way of living from the world around us. He says, go and do likewise. So it causes me to question, am I willing or are you willing to go and love your neighbours? And what might that look like? It might mean a child sharing their lunch with someone who doesn't have any. It might mean a farmer helping a person who's experiencing mechanical problems that they can help with, even when they're in a rush to be somewhere else. As someone who's looking at ministry work, I'm reminded that we're called to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. As a parent, I'm so aware that my actions teach much more than my words. Through this parable, Jesus instructs us to show love to people with different religious and cultural views from our own without bias. Now, that might mean acting with love towards people who just aren't so nice to us. We're all busy and we can think of reasons to not slow down and act with love towards other people. But if we don't show love, we're hypocrites. Or worse, we're ungrateful recipients of God's great and abundant mercy and grace that he's poured out for us. So serving others is eminently reasonable when we remember what Christ did for us. Jesus Christ was about to lay down his life. That's where he was headed, to Jerusalem, to lay down his life when he told this parable. He encouraged his followers to love others with compassion and action. Now, Jesus also said his burden is light. Yet at this point, this message might feel heavy to some. So I want to make sure we also avoid unwarranted guilt or burden. So let's consider what the parable is not saying. It does not mean that we are saved by the good deeds we do. We are only saved through grace. So we remain assured that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and the grace available to us through him. This is not a salvation crippling issue. It does not mean that if you drive past someone who needs help, you've missed your chance at eternal life. That would be a real wrong extrapolation of this verse. The priest and the Levite saw and understood the situation without compassion. This parable is not to condemn, but to teach. We are encouraged to show compassion, and we're shown what it looks like, but it's really different to what we might think. Jesus is not saying he expects you to be responsible to care for every hurt person that you encounter. Jesus was the most remarkable healer ever, yet he demonstrated the need to rest. And he ceased work in various places where needs still existed. So this is not just trying to get blood from a stone. Jesus doesn't expect you to do everything, but while respecting the need for rest, he does expect us to do what we can. So I need to be careful not to water down the good work that Christ has called for us to do. And please hear me on this. When Jesus was called to give everything to save others, he did. And that's the example Jesus showed us after teaching about the generous Good Samaritan. And he called us to action when he said, go and love your neighbours, which is what this parable is teaching us. This parable teaches that just because a person is despised, as the Samaritan was, it doesn't mean they are bad. Just as being called a Christian doesn't automatically make one good. So preparing for this message, I couldn't disconnect in my mind everything that I've just been discussing with the passage of James 2, 14 to 17. So in James 2, 14, it says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. What James there delivers as a really blunt assessment, Jesus teaches with encouragement through this parable. He's seeking to inspire us to love those we interact with a broader lens than we previously had. To wrap up, I think there's three main points for us to remember from the parable of the Good Samaritan. Knowing Scripture is not the same as obeying Scripture. Love is compassionate. Go and love your neighbours. Ultimately, it's quite simple. Talk is cheap, but the price Jesus paid for our salvation, it wasn't cheap. He's asking us to treat each person we come across as our neighbour and love them as we would want to be loved. For that is how Christ loved you. And that's what makes this not a burden to understand when we stay focused on what Christ has done for us. We've received so much more than we could ever give. Go, empowered as people who have been loved by Christ, and love your neighbours. I'll just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable taught to us through your Son. We ask that you would help us to be encouraged to love our neighbours, not to take on burdens that would weigh us down unnecessarily, Lord, but help us to not miss the opportunities that you put before us to love our neighbours. And I pray that you would give us eyes to see and willing hearts to see the people around us who we can help. Help us to see those opportunities and have the courage to take them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.